What is it that brings us together for Easter Sunday? Is it tradition? Is it a rite of spring? Perhaps for us, though in the southern hemisphere it is now deep into autumn, their flowers they use, perhaps it's more of a harvest theme. I just have never bothered, I guess, to check. Some of us come to Easter to celebrate and hope for resurrection from the dead. Others of us come hoping for resurrection of new life from the constant repetition of all that is old and decaying and the same old and the same old. What we know is that bodies die. Souls, spirits, our wrecks, and lives on. Death from this life is what Easter is about. All of our spirits, everybody's spirits, souls, essences, go on and live on. And I don't think that the reality of life after death helps all that much to those of us who grieve the death from this life of those that we love. Death is such a huge and permanent in this life separation. We just hurt, or at least I do, assuming I'm like most people. I think we just hurt in the presence of death no matter what. When the Apostle Paul says, death, where is your sting? I simply say, well, right here, over there. Really take the bite out of death, I don't think. By and large, life can be just simply wonderful, depending on the combination of things going on in our lives. Most of us, even in our deepest regrets and despairs, we still prefer life over the alternative. I still run into a few people who just jump into death, not very often. Age, disease, tragedy, and accidents take a huge toll on all of us that resurrection just does not cure. When I lose someone to death that I love, whose very presence has marked my living as more than worthwhile, someone in life who loved me and I them, I don't care where in heaven they now reside. I, like all of you, just have a deep loss, loneliness, and despair that resurrection, life beyond death, just does not fix. I do depend on my resurrection theology every day of my life. And that is not an overstatement. And in fact, in light of the last several months of the new administrative order in our country, I have relied even more on my basic belief that God seeks to bring new life out of real life death, dealing ways more. I have been watching the PBS docudrama about the life and death of Jesus and the politics and the real life issues surrounding Jesus in his life and times. It suggests, for those of you that have not watched it, and I won't give you the punchline at the end, it suggests that Jesus made a deal with Pilate and with King Herod that would make Jesus the new messianic head of the Jewish temple system, and that Pilate and Herod would then have full political control of Israel and the surrounding territories. That was to be the political payoff for all of them, supporting this guy that most of us have never heard of, Lucius Sejanus, as the new emperor of Rome. That's it, in essence, okay? It's great fun, if you like that kind of stuff, to try to guess in new ways what were the motivations that moved people to take huge risks that ended up making history. Was Jesus politically active? Well, duh, I think so. We run the risk oftentimes of making Jesus much more pure in regard to his religious motives than that we willingly, I think, neglect the political reality of the fact that from Herod and Pilate's point of view, Jesus was a populist political leader who threatened their government stability. Recognize him as a drunken womanizer. Jesus lived in a real world and fought all the battles that we fight. He was very political. Parts of Christianity have long sought to combine political and religious power. As recent as the military movement of the United States into the second Iraq War, then President George W. Bush gave the Graham religious organization, Samaritan's Purse, near universal privileges to do evangelism in that predominantly Islamic area. If the war itself was not by being in Iraq, by adding governmental sanctioned religious zeal to the mix, only added to the horrible repercussions that our motives are indeed suspect in the Islamic world. Most of us, on our better days, prefer to assume the separation of church and state. True religious expression is nearly impossible whenever there is governmental oversight and control. There are always those in government and those in religious circles that desire not freedom of and from religion, but prefer to have the power to control and have the right to play favorites. I sincerely doubt they're in control. That's just my thought. Jesus' death at the hands of those exercising such power means what we have always known, that hope still triumphs over the grave, and that any politically motivated hate crimes, hope still perseveres. Jesus' death shows that love outlives death, visibly in the disciples, tangibly in the early church. We had a guy here who just wouldn't die. But no longer do I think we should interpret Easter as a spiritual reality alone, apart from the political reality of his kingdom or organization. Not in some other world after we die. And we can no longer equate the resurrection of Jesus solely with eggs and flowers, with chocolate and springtime, without remembering that Jesus was calling for a revolutionary new government that would embrace all people, everybody, as God's beloved. Easter becomes the resurrection of Jesus' vision, his values, his hopes, his reign over the lives of a movement that grew into a church, a spiritual and political resurrection. And sadly, Jesus, where the money was stockpiled, law often applied without mercy, where kings were holy above all others, and the church owned land where the poor could not. In our country, it happened when most churches sanctioned slavery. Churches condemned the GLBTQ bars, and today the presence of recently immigrant peoples. But the church also engages, hopefully, in endless reformations inside these large traditions and outside as new ones arise. And in each reformation, there are more schools, hospitals embraced. Easter, I think, beckons us. It calls us. Calling us to gather in the traditions of freedom that are in critical need in our time. Easter is Black Lives Matter. Easter is embracing transgender people. Easter is depriving the rich of our endless financial benefits. Easter is committing our souls to the struggles that set women free, that struggles for publicly funded daycare and equal pay and the continuation of Roe versus Wade's landmark freedom for women controlling their own bodies. We follow the road to Easter, as did the colt, Jesus into Jerusalem, not knowing where the road would go, but faithful always to the journey. Easter stands for the sweet kiss of mercy and the embrace of righteousness for which Jesus suffered and in which he rose. Creeds, doctrines, dogmas, push those aside. Monastic rules will push those aside. Easter stands, I think, for none of those. There will always be a price to pay for Easter. Alleluias are not cheap decorations that I can slip down here to the dollar store and buy. The knowledge of Alleluia emerges from the courage of the broken heart to remain faithful to its hope. Resurrection is both improbable and necessary to face the daunting threats of personal, communal, and in the 21st century, the strong potential of planetary death. In the current national crisis, we need to hear God's message of new life in the midst of the realities of personal and corporate threat. The call and response of God in the world is not suspended and reduced in divine unilateral activity, partnership with us. And there is the hope of us still, I think, in God, of a superabundance of divine possibility, much like how trees and insects and a lot of human beings, we just produce more than is needed. I think God is still producing more than is needed, but we need to somehow actualize that in ourselves. And I wonder if we can allow ourselves to ponder miracles of a deeper nature this Easter from a progressive emerging perspective. Can we experience God's presence to be more than we can ask or imagine? Relationships, including that of God in the world, contain deep within it quantum leaps of energy that makes a way where there seems to be no way. Every day, this is just my politics, not yours, okay? Every day that I deal with what did Donald Trump do yesterday, I pray for a quantum leap of new life and new energy for what yet can be. I wonder, can the surprising new beginnings articulated by the Big Bang or Big Birth of the universe, can it be replicated in the microcosm of personal and planetary life again? We need sanitary death, governmental gridlock, regressive religions, and economic and environmental destruction seem out of control. We need a miracle of divine and human partnership. For only a transformation of divine energy in partnership with us can give us and our planet a verdant and fruitful path through the wilderness. We need an Easter, personally, corporately. We need to set aside our theological and spiritual limitations and discover a deeper naturalism, ground divine energy moving through all of our relationships where we live and move and have our being. We need to believe that in our lives and in our world, God can still do a new thing with us. God has always needed real people and relationship to pull it off. Can we be in such a relationship with God? We need a new Easter that is beyond lilies and bunnies and chocolate. That's no criticism implied there. But we need to allow God to move anew in us. Belief is that God is willing if we are.